It's good to be with you all. It's an honor. Brother Randy asked me to come back, and that's an honor. You allowed me to come back. That's an honor. And we're just glad to be here. And I'm trying to get some things sorted out. I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning, but I haven't heard anything that goes along with what I have to preach on. And Brother Isaac, Brother Blue, and all of you testifying, what have you, it's kind of got me off balance. Amen. I would let Sister Meredith go ahead and preach today. She asked her, and I would do that, except we drove 717 miles yesterday, and she preached all the way down here, and I'm going to let her voice rest up. we had a good time coming down. Really did. I did, because I gassed up in Charleston, Missouri, and I never stopped till I ran out of gas at Morristown, Tennessee, and she never made me stop. And so anytime you let me just drive and don't, you know, pull over, don't do nothing, just drive, I'm doing very well. So we had a good visit, and we just really enjoyed ourselves. I'm glad to have her with me. Yeah. I don't get to have her with me very often, and we're glad to have her. And I was thinking, Brother Blue, Sister LaDonna's got a brother come in. They're trying to get back up there to see him. But I was thinking, as he was up here this morning, I really felt like you had something for us, didn't you? You didn't take very long, but he did good. Amen. And I know you're aware, Brother Webb has made you aware of the fact that there will be dinner is going to be served and how good it's going to be. And then the brother about the Vietnam, all this stuff just keeps on coming at me. I thought of Brother Melvin Romans. He goes to church at Midway now. He went to church, he got saved, filled the Holy Ghost at Brandsville, Missouri, where I was a pastor. Went into war at Vietnam, and he was on one of those hills where they were pinned down. They couldn't get supplies in. They couldn't get the wounded out. They were in bad shape. And it was a time when he was fearful for his life. And he happened to look at his watch and realized it was time for church at Brandsville. It was our church night. And he said the fear left him. And for the time it took for us to have church and pray, he said they knew we'd be praying. He said that fear left him until about time for service be over and the realization of where he's at, come back in. But in a little while, they heard the gunships coming in. And pretty soon, the rescue was made complete and the enemy is driven back. So thank God for people that still know how to pray. Amen? The prayer is not limited by distance. One other thing before I try to preach here. Unless I change my mind, you have to give me time because I'm going to have to find a place in the Bible. I'm thinking about changing this whole thing. I spent all night preaching this, and now I'm out of step. Did you ever do that, Brother Gabbard? Yes. What do you do? Modify your own step? Huh? You know, I'll show you how we used to do it in the Army, but I can't do it anymore. My legs won't work. But anyway, I was thinking about up in our country, you know, we have little camp meetings, and a lot of them aren't very big. Back in those hills, and when they're small like that, why, you don't have people cooking like this. But what you do is when you have a little camp meeting, you get things ready, and they put them in a big pot of beans. Yeah. They put the water in them, you know, and get them ready and get them cooking, and you're going to have them come off about the time people get to a church. Yeah. And there's a fellow at this camp meeting that he loved to eat. In fact, if you come up to camp meeting where he's at and he'd already been there a day or two, he'd meet you with something like this. Boy, the food's really good here. He never did mention the preaching or the singing or nothing. He was a preacher, but he loved that food. Well, they had things pretty well figured out. They knew how long church was going to last. It was that that way over and over. They knew how it was going along, it was going to last. They had it all figured out. But that morning, something happened that disrupted their whole plans. There's a couple there, got under conviction and come forth for prayer. And so this preacher got down and praying with him, and he was praying real good until he happened to think about those beans. And he lost the spirit of prayer. He jumped up and run down the cook shack, and when he got to the door, he opened the door, and sure enough, he could smell those beans. And he wasn't the kind of guy to put a cup of water in there, you know. It never occurred to him he could help anything. He just whirled around, went back up where they was praying. He got there just as the couple got through. And they was all starting to stand up, and he walked in the door and said, "Y'all might as well just go ahead and pray. The beans are already burnt." I wish we could have a service like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Amen, where we could just go ahead and pray and keep praying and forget about the food. But right now, I don't feel it. I hope it comes later. All right. Sister Barnett, you don't like times like this, and I don't either. But it just so happens that I've got some notes here. And as soon as I find out what scriptures I'm supposed to read, I'm gonna try this. I don't know if it'll work. I'm going to try it. Well, I'm going to try it. Amen. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Like I said, that's where my notes are. But this is more or less what you've been testifying about. And I don't even know where 1 Kings is. Well, I'm in 2 Kings right here, and I was looking at Isaiah. You can tell I'm nervous, can't you? Amen. And the worst thing about this now, I'm telling you, there's a scripture come to me, and I spent all the time y'all singing trying to find it. And then Don knows who's right, and I got it. And yet I still don't know if I should use it. So I'm gonna try this. If it don't work, come back tomorrow, and whoever's supposed to have today's will get tomorrow's, and they won't be here, and the whole thing will be messed up. But I just don't feel right not trying to go along with what's going on here. So I just hope I'm right in this. I hope I am. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. This may probably last 15 minutes. And here's a bad thing. I want you to pray for me because I feel like the Lord laid some scriptures on my heart for this camp meeting. And some of them, I look at them, and they seem kind of weak. I know they aren't if the Holy Ghost gets in it. But I can only do what I feel like it's the Lord's will for me to do. You understand? 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. And my daughter, I'll tell you this while I'm talking about it, two things while you're trying to find it. You already found it, I know it, but I'm acting like Kevin. Number one, I think I preached my first homecoming here 36 years ago. I've been every year, but I've got it on you. Yeah, all right. And so I think I have. And there's something else. Oh, yeah. This message is kind of a partnership message. Brother Kelsey Valines called me, coming back from somewhere, and he asked me about a scripture. And I thought, well, I said, I don't know. I never thought about it. And I thought when I hung up, I thought, why did he call me and ask me about that? I never had thought about that. So I thought about it, and pretty soon I called him back and told him what I thought about. So that's kind of, so I don't know if he wrote the words and I wrote the music, or if I wrote the words and he wrote the music. But this sort of a partnership message here. Amen. 1 Kings 19 and 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "Is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I want to preach on that if I can just for a little while. just kind of give you something to fill in, because I don't think I got much of a message here. But the Bible said when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Well, Brother Kelsey's question was, why did he leave his servant there? And so that's what I got to thinking about. Beersheba was reckoned among the outermost cities of the children of Judah. It marked the southernmost border of that land. Its name, of course, means either the Well of Seven or Well of Oath, whichever you want it. Just give you a little history on that. When he left it there, up until this time, it was here that Abraham and Abimelech, a Philistine, entered into a covenant. You remember in the book of Genesis, 21st chapter, it tells the story of Hagar and how she was left in the wilderness of Beersheba, yeah, and she saw a well there. And then in the following part of that same chapter, it tells about Abimelech and Abraham making a covenant, and Abraham gave him seven lambs to seal that covenant and claim that well for himself. I think, I can't prove this, but you know, then they, when they dug a well, a lot of times they put something over it to cover it, to keep it, get, you know, from dust and stuff, and so they'd cover that well. And I think, myself, that Abraham had already dug this well before Hagar went in the wilderness. And she saw that well. She wasn't aware it was there. And, you know, it's kind of hard if you're living under the law to discover grace. Did you know it? You just about starve to death before you find it. You know, and that Hagar represents the law. And so, but she discovered that well. And so it was there. And whenever she wandered with Ishmael, she found it. And Abraham came to Beersheba after the offering of Isaac on Mount Moriah. Isaac returned here from his sojourn in the valley of Gera. Jacob fled from Esau, and passing along, he came to Beersheba and offered his sacrifices there. So this is a place that's rich in history of God moving and meeting needs and revealing himself in that wilderness there where that well was. Of course, I'm sure that was a little better oasis than just the wilderness, but I'm just telling you that. So if any place could help that servant, that'd be a good place to leave him, because of the rich history that's around him. So anyway, Brother Kelsey called me and asked me about it, and I thought about it. I don't know if I prayed about it. I wanted to act like I prayed for 2 days and fasted, but I didn't. But I thought about it and what spiritual significance it was. And after giving some thought, I called him. I said, well, he left him there because of his name. Well, that shocked Brother Kelsey. He didn't know I knew his name, you know. And so it shocked him, and his name. And I said, yeah, that's why they left him, because of his name. And I said, you didn't know his name? No. I said, well, you should look it up. Well, he didn't want to look it up. He said, what was his name? I said, his name was Doubt. His name was Doubt. Amen. The only time you find that servant mentioned is on the mount there, Mount Carmel, where Elijah sent him to look for a cloud. And you know, he's the kind of fellow, every time you ask him, you know, he come back, no, nothing. Sit down. Go look again. Run back. Come back. Sit down. Nothing. 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 You know? And take a fellow like that, you need to leave him behind. Amen. Yeah? Abraham was going. Jezebel done said she's going to take his life. And I'm not the kind of fellow, I'm not the fellow that really believes that Abraham was afraid of Jezebel. It's just like this. If I heard that a certain, you know, we're looking at a police state if we aren't careful. And if I heard that the police, the federals coming after me, I'd be praying God take my life too, wouldn't you? Huh? Amen. I'd rather God take it than them. And also, the last time God had talked to Abraham about dealing with a monarch, and that monarch's wife's husband was who he was talking about. He said, told him to flee and go to a place he'd prepared for him. So the last message he had was flee when they get upset with you. And so he just done it. So I'm really kind of on Elijah's side that maybe he wasn't that afraid, but he just didn't want to have to let her kill him. He wasn't afraid of death, but he didn't want her to kill him. So he was willing to flee from that, but he wasn't afraid of her, I don't feel like, particularly. But I'm just talking about him leaving doubt there. Now, you just kind of stay with me. I hope you don't get wore out. Amen. And I think about this servant, too, also, probably, I don't know how it got to Jezreel. Elijah outrun Ahab's chariot for 17 miles. And doubt wasn't on that trip. He must have been riding in one of Ahab's chariots. You know what I'm saying? He must have been riding along, you know. And whenever Elijah got over there to pray, he didn't say, I and my servant, the only one left. No, amen, doubt wasn't in on it. Just me. I'm the one that's still left. I knew he didn't know about 7,000, but he didn't count Elisha, or his servant rather, as one of those that would be with him. So I'm saying that his name was Doubt, and he left him behind because if anything could help Doubt get it to a place where it can see where God's been moving and God's been active in that area, and it has a history of God moving, and perhaps it'll help Doubt. But while Doubt's being helped, amen, Elijah need to keep moving on, and so he left Doubt behind. There's another reason why I think about this when I look at this and think about it. If you'll notice, amen, whenever Elisha came along, and Elijah made him his servant, when he came along, when he wanted to stay at Gilgal or at Bethel or Jericho, Elisha's answer was, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. Amen. So faith says now. Elijah has hesitated, or doubt says wait a while. Amen. But faith said now. And so Elisha wanted to stay with him. And so that's the kind of thing you want, is something that's looking for God to move and ain't going to take a chance on it getting away. Folks, I tell you, I feel like I'm preaching this morning because I've had so many testimony, Brother Blue and this other brother, and everybody talking about, amen, we're under a struggle, we're under a battle, we're having a trial, and I'm sure we do, amen. Anytime you take away the ability of your local enforcement of officers to take care of a situation, and you give that in the hands of federal troops, you're simply saying, amen, you're going to have a police state here before it's over with, and I feel like that's the way I feel about it. But there is a God in heaven, there is a God in heaven that can change things. I think maybe up Brother Roberts, but I wasn't aware of how God was moving in the Second World War. Whenever there was a place called England that was, and Mr. Chamberlain was talking to Hitler, thought Hitler was one of the greatest things since break bread, you know. Amen. Just went along with him. If they had got the king that was supposed to have been their king, which would have been King Edward VIII, amen, he would have went along with it because he liked Hitler. But it so happened that King Edward felt for some American woman that went over there, and she's divorced. And so he'd abdicate the throne, and that left Queen Elizabeth II to take over, and she wasn't that close to Hitler. And so England joined the United States, and instead of Hitler, if they'd have joined with Hitler, we'd had real problems on our hands. But there was a God that had a way of working that out. And so when you hear the newscast and all the things going on, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I'm simply saying there is a God that when people pray and have revival and God moves, amen, amen, the thing we need to do is leave doubt in the wilderness of Beersheba and just cover it up with the word of God and say, I'm going to live for God in spite of everything. I hope I'm not wearing it out. Far as I'm concerned, doubt is the agnostic of the faith family. Amen. Well, maybe there's a God. Maybe he'll move. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that'll happen. But, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to look and realize that there's still a God on his throne when we have things happen to us. Amen. It's just like I told you about my son. Am I wearing you out? I don't mean to. I'm trying to preach. I'm doing the best I can. I'm talking about leaving doubt in the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen. Cover him up with the word of God and say, stay here. Amen. You can't travel with me. I don't need you right now. Amen. You're pulling on me. You're pulling back on me. If you aren't with me, you're against me. And I'll leave you here. And I'll travel alone if I have to. But somewhere out there, there's a God in heaven that if it needs to, the angels will feed me. And feed me on such bread that I can travel in the strength of it for 40 days and nights. And still have the ability to hear from God. Hallelujah. And when he did hear from God, he tried to get back where Moses was. And when he got back where Moses was, somebody talked about living in the past. He got back where Moses was. Every manifestation that Moses experienced, the Bible said God wasn't in it. But there came a time when he heard a still small voice and God was there. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for what my parents had. I'm not looking for what my grandparents had. But I'm looking to the God who was with my parents and my grandparents. And I feel like when the time comes, his still small voice will give me the encouragement and the help I need, and I can move on for God. Is that all right? I'm trying to preach you today. Leave down in the wilderness of Beersheba, amen. Praise God, he's traveled with you long enough. Amen, he's always been the one you have to push him, trying to get something done. Pick something up that will push you, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 and 10 to 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Amen. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Amen. You know what about that? You remember, and I'll refer to this. I don't get in that since I've done left that message behind. I don't get into that right now. So I'm trying to walk a thin line here so I won't get messed up for tomorrow. Amen. But look at this. What was the law of the prophets? What was their message? Their message was anticipation. You know, anticipation. But, amen, he said all the law of the prophets were unto John. Amen. And the prophesied unto John. But this time, amen, we want some aggressive people that'll take over and take charge of the kingdom of God. Amen. What is our message that we found from John? From the time Jesus come, it's a message of experience, amen, and realization. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't have to preach about the Holy Ghost coming. He's already come. Brother Mike, he's already here. The Spirit's already here. We don't have to preach about those things. It's an experience and a realization. We can have it now. We don't have to worry about the time when he's going to write his law in our hearts and in our minds. It's God here, amen. Aren't you glad today that we're living in the day we're living in? Hallelujah. Praise God. Where we just said, keep looking down the road and keep looking down the road. It's true, Jesus is coming and we're looking for that. But I want you to know we have a mighty God that's here this morning to meet every need, touch every heart. Amen. Heal sick bodies, deliver, and give you the freedom you need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to think. Who was it? Amen. Talking about. He's telling about a woman in a wheelchair. Where was that at? Was that here in Virginia? I'm not sure. It'll come to me in a minute, but just come to me. Amen. About this woman. And she was in a meeting. And this fellow's praying for her. She's in a wheelchair. She'd been in that wheelchair 9 years and 8 months, if I remember right. And she said, that preacher, when he prayed for her, he said he kicked her wheelchair and said, why don't you get out of this thing or something like that? And she felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon her. And so she wanted to get out, but her husband was there. See, doubt comes sometimes in different packages, you know, and her daughter was there. She wanted to get out, and Brother John, they held her in. They said, no, you haven't been out. You can't do that. And so finally, they got her to go home. I wish I could remember who told that, give him credit for it. And they finally got her to go home. Ronnie Wheeler, all right, it's Ronnie Wheeler. It wasn't Ronnie that did it, amen. So now I still don't know who I'm talking about. Anyway, but I'm close, I'm getting closer, amen. We're on track. But anyway, so, amen, he said she went home. And so she got home, and then she got sick and had to go to the hospital. And the ambulance come, and the husband and the daughter was coming later. And when she got in that hospital room, and there was nobody in there, just her in her wheelchair, she said, God, if you'll come on me like you did there at that church, amen, I'm going to get up here and walk, amen. She prayed, she felt the presence of God come on. And meanwhile, the husband and the daughter come up to the hospital, come in the front, and they come in there, and they told those people, said, we're here to my wife. Said, my wife's here. He says, well, what about it? Said, what about us? She's in a wheelchair. We ain't got nobody in a wheelchair here. Yes, you have. Yeah, no, that's my wife. I know she is. He went to look. He got over in that room, looked. There sat the wheelchair, and there was his wife walking around in the room in there, praising God. I'm talking about leaving doubt behind. Sometimes, amen, God had to work it for us to get doubt out of there. You know something about Jesus, amen. When he come to pray with that Jairus' little daughter, amen, he put everybody out. Curiosity seekers. You know, Brother John, I've thought about that a lot of times. I wonder how many times I've invited doubt to come to the front and pray for the sick. You know, or curiosity. Now, but you know you have to do things just right or people, they'll get sull up on you. And we've always done it this way. Huh? I remember years ago, I was preaching on doubt. I remember years ago, Sister Faye Wilbanks, she couldn't tell, I know I've told you this, but she couldn't recognize me that far away. But I was her pastor. She had had a brain tumor, she's blind. She was legally blind. She could see it up there with her white cane, whatever, kind of get around. But she came to church. She came up front and sat down on the altar there, and I was praying for her. We was praying sincere. We was hollering, we was carrying on, we was crying, we was carrying on. And she's telling God, what can I do? God, what can I do? Oh, God, what I need to do? Amen, I'll do it. Lord, if you just show me. Finally, I just stopped everybody. I was young. I didn't know we had a form to follow. And I said, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's do something different. I said, Sister Faye, do you know of anything you're doing wrong that you need to change? No. Has God told you anything to do? He said, no. I said, well, if he ain't said anything, let's drop that. Forget about it. And I said, I want you to fix your eyes on the cross in your mind. Think about the cross. Where he paid the full price. Your healing's paid for. Everything's paid for. And I said, now, you people that are praying, I want you to quit praying. I'm going to do the praying. You're going to do listening. And you're going to be saying to yourself, I agree with that. I agree with that. We prayed. We prayed. I'm telling you the truth. She sat on the altar. Ted Friend, was a man who went to my church, sat in the far back corner over there. And I said, when I say amen, I want all of you to say amen. When I said amen, they said amen. And she opened her eyes and looked back there and said, Ted Friend, get up from there and let's shout. Hallelujah. I wish I could say that was all of it. But let me tell you what happened. Brother John Rose's wife, Merle, was up here, and she was old enough to be my mother, so we weren't visiting, you know. But anyway, she's up here at the front, and I was up here at the front, and Faye went out that door. When she got to that door from force of habit, she reached in her purse and got her dark glasses and put them on. The next morning, she's just like she was before we prayed for her. I'm preaching on leaving doubt in the wilderness. I can see why now. And I thought Jack Cole was kind of mean. People get prayed for. If their glasses and they got healed, he grabbed their glasses and stomped them. Amen. He didn't want them to have doubt around any longer. I'm not that brave. I'm not the kind of person. But I'm simply saying, amen, that a lot of times we have defeated a real victory by doubt. Right. I'm preaching on leaving doubt in the wilderness. I'm trying to preach on it. I'm doing the best I can. Amen. I hope. You know what Peter did when he was in that trance? He was praying. And the Bible said he was praying. And he saw those sheep let down by the four corners, all manner of beasts and all creeping things there. And the Lord said, arise and eat. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common. The Lord said, what I've cleansed, call thou not common. Amen. This was done twice. And the Lord, and the Bible said, what he doubted himself, what it meant. He didn't understand it. It took God 8 years to get him where he could kind of deal with him about his prejudice against the Gentiles. And now here he is doubting it. But then those men came in. And the Bible said the Spirit said to him, go with them doubting nothing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Leave doubt in Beersheba. Amen. Leave it up here where you've been fasting, waiting on God. You leave that and go and just go over there and go over there and preach. And the Holy Ghost fell and they baptized them. People saved them and baptized them. Can any man forbid water seeing these receive the Holy Ghost as well as thee? Amen. And then he told them later, said, the Holy Ghost told me to go with them, doubting nothing. The thing we got to realize, amen, that God is able and we got to leave doubt in the wilderness of Beersheba. and travel over God. Amen. 15 years later, amen, Peter withdrew himself from the people of Antioch and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Backslid, and God had to pray him back through all over again because of the fact doubt got in. You don't live long enough for God, amen, for to overcome doubt. He'll always be around if you let him. But brother, it's up to you. You've got to exercise the power and authority of faith and say, doubt, I'm not going to live with you any longer. Hallelujah. I'm doing the best I can. One other scripture. Luke, the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 29. I'm having to look all this up because I didn't have it, you know. I saw that note that morning. I thought, I'll put that in my notebook. I thought, well, it won't hurt. I was putting it back in the Bible. I'm glad now I left it. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this or not, but I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. And Luke 12, 29. Well, there's something wrong here. Boy, I hope when I look around and see what it is, because I've got 12, 29 through 21. Whew. Mercy. All right. Let me try. Hallelujah. Yeah, I may have to do something else. Hallelujah. I know what it is. All right, 19. No. I'm still not there. Amen. All right, let me try this. Yeah, all right. All right. I'm looking for that word. I don't know what it is. I know what scripture it is now, but I'm trying to find it. It's neither be of a doubtful mind. Seek 12:29. Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now, I never realized this till the Lord moved on me about this. He's talking about something more than what we see here. Yeah. The world seeks after food and drink. But he said, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. The Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Amen. The world out there isn't worried about doubt. They aren't worried about that as far as that's concerned. They're seeking food and drink. He said, don't do that. Don't even get started with the world. And then neither be ye of a doubtful mind. But God said, neither the Father knows they have need of these things. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you have to worry about different things? It's not God's fault if we don't have revival. It's not God's fault if we don't have healings. It's not God's fault if you're backsliding this morning. I'll tell you what it is. You've got doubt traveling with you, and you need to leave him in the wilderness of Beersheba and say, doubt, I'm leaving you behind. If I got to have companionship, God will move on me. He'll speak to me in a still, small voice. I'll throw the mantle over and know some old plowboy, and he'll come out of there, and amen, snorting smoke and blowing fire, amen, scratching gravel, amen. And when he gets through with me and I get through with him, he'll be carrying that same mantle, and the church of God will move on, and the plan of God will move on, and the power of God will be demonstrated, and people will say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can you lift your hands and praise him? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. So our Heavenly Father is in the air of these things. Paul was cold. He was hungry. He was betrayed. He had a lot of things he went through with. But when he got through with it all, he said, these light afflictions, hallelujah. He never doubted God. He knew what it was, amen. He said, I'm not going to be like the Gentile. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about where my next meal's coming from. I'm going to just go ahead and live for God. There used to be a guy up at Carmensville, Red Netzer. Yeah, Connerville, big old fella. And he told me one time, he was in the Depression. and said he was out trying to get some food for his family. And he's fishing, trying to get enough food for his family and to sell fish. And he said it was a hard way to go trying to, because everybody else is fishing. You know what I mean? Said, I was sitting there one day, and I said, God, you can do better than this. You can do better than this. He said, I threw that fishing pole down and headed for the house. Said, I ain't fishing no more like this, because God can do better than that. He got home, hadn't been home no time. No boy drove up and got out and said, hey, I need somebody to cut logs for me. Would you be interested? Hallelujah. Yeah. He felt like that was a direct answer from God. Hallelujah. God, you can do better than this. Amen. One scripture I want to read. I'm about through. I know you thought it was through before I started. I don't blame you. You've been very patient. I appreciate it. But I'm just talking to you this morning. Hallelujah. I think it's time to leave doubt in the wilderness. I really do. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, hallelujah, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, help you reach your goal, hallelujah. That's the way I'd say it. To be perfect is when you have attained to that which you're looking for. Make you perfect. Amen. Paul said, not as though I were perfect, nor attained. You know, I want to read that to you. Can I do that? I know where it's at. But I hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody smell the beans burning yet? All right. Here we go. I'm find it right here. Amen. I like this because I believe I'm right on it. I'm not changing the Bible. But a fellow called me the other day and asked me about this. And it says, not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Amen. Laid hold on him. Rested me. He arrested me. I was going down the road, and he laid a hold on me. He arrested me. And he said, now I'll give you a goal, because I've got a goal. I'll give you a goal. Amen. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now I looked at this one day, and you notice that 13th verse. This is italicized. That meant they put it in there to help us understand. One thing I is italicized. Do is italicized. Take that out of the book and read it. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but one thing, amen. There's one thing I've got a hold of. That's the ability to forget those things that are behind and reach for those things that are ahead. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I count not myself to apprehend it, but one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. You see? Amen. Somewhere in there, doubt is. I got to leave all that behind. I can't remember my rites and the calls where I preached, and I can't remember the revivals. Amen. If I do that, one will make me just sit around and be satisfied with my accomplishment. If the other make me so sad and feel so bad that I won't have the nerve to try it again. But if I forget my revivals and my rites and just go ahead, hallelujah, amen, I've still got it right. He said, God laid hold on me for something, and I've laid hold on to God, and we're traveling on. Hallelujah. And we just had a fellow up home. He sung a song, I'm traveling on for Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Peter said, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you settle you right. Kelsey, you just didn't know that man's name. I said, or you didn't know why he left him there. He got quite a kick out of it. I don't know if he ever preached on it or not. It may have been so far out, he wouldn't even try it. But anyway, I felt like the Lord gave it to me, and I feel like I should give it to you this morning, because evidently some of you are going through some hard trials right now. Amen. But just leave in doubt. Leave doubt. Leave doubt in the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen. Every time he comes along, just cover him up with scriptures. So you stay here and chew on that a while. I got work to do. Huh? Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's stand together, would you? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something a little different here. I want us to stand together. I want you to reach out and get a hold of your neighbor's hand. And let's pray for each other and say, we're going on for Jesus. We're going to live for God. Amen. If you're struggling, get a hold of somebody's hand and ask God to help you. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We're praying for this people, Lord. They're having trials and tests. Amen. It may be jobs. It may be different things, Lord. But I ask you, Lord, help us this day. We may not can kill doubt, but let us crucify him, Lord. Leave him there hungry and cold and exposed to other things besides our feelings. God bless these people. Keep your hand on them, Lord. If someone needs healing, Lord, help them to get rid of doubt. If they need financial help, help them to get rid of doubt. Amen. If they have an unsaved companion, help them to get rid of doubt. Oh, God, I feel your presence, Lord. I feel like you're here to hear and answer prayer and move and move and meet every need. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. I hope it didn't bother you asking you to stand. Used to, I thought when I was younger, I felt like people asked you to stand, it wasn't spiritual. But when you get in your 80s, you kind of appreciate that.
We're going to pray. I want to read that verse, that last verse again. Somebody text me this verse this week. Just text the verse, said, and then no commentary, just said read. And so then, so when brother preached so great, boy, wasn't that great? Yeah. Wow. Boy, that's just what we needed. And I'm going to read that verse to you, and then we're going to pray. But the God of all grace, the God of what? All what? Anybody relate to grace? Huh? You say, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't travel, I can't. Well, you know anything about grace? Can you be a steward of grace? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Does that sound good? Are you getting this? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory, his eternal glory, that's the goal, by his Son, Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Ooh. Somebody say amen. My. Well, we're going to seek the Lord. Seek him fervently. Put the water in the beans and just seek him fervently. Amen? Come on. Leave doubt in the wilderness.